Tampa Bay. It's a 70-yard touchdown by Doug Martin.
Welcome to Buccaneers Total Access with running back Doug Martin.
Is there anything number 22 can't do?
Now your host, TJ Reeves, and number 22, Doug Martin.
And we come in here on this Monday evening as the Bucs come off of a tough 23-3 loss to the New England Patriots. They do get set to take on the Arizona Cardinals, and that is coming up on Sunday at 1 at Raymond James Stadium. And we look forward with talking to number 22, Doug Martin. He'll be here momentarily getting some preparation, some last-minute preparation in on this Monday for the upcoming game, some treatment, et cetera. So Doug will be here with us. He'll be ready to take your phone calls as well. Here's how you join us, by the way, on the phones here in the hour. If you're in Hillsborough County, 990-4620. If you're in St. Pete Clearwater in Pinellas County, 727-461-4620. And toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number outside of the immediate Tampa, St. Pete area, wherever you can hear the show, as we like to say, through technology, et cetera. We've been hearing from Buck fans all over the place throughout the first two or three weeks of the Buccaneers Total Access shows here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. So again, 1-800-596-BUCKS to join us toll-free. However you can get through, fire away with the questions and the comments. You can also find me on Twitter, and you can get to us with a question or a comment via Twitter at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy, for the hour here with Doug for a question or comment this evening via Twitter if you don't want to wait on hold, et cetera. And as we come in here to this second hour here on Monday night, we were talking about the run game with the head coach in the last hour. A couple of superlatives again for the Buccaneers running the football. While it is in defeat, Doug Martin did average 4.5 yards a carry yesterday, right at it, 88 yards on 20 carries. And Doug now is the second leading rusher in the National Football League behind LeSean McCoy going into the end of this third week of the NFL season. Martin's 297 yards, better than Adrian Peterson, better than DeMarco Murray of Dallas, even D'Angelo Williams of Carolina. Only LeSean McCoy has rushed for more yards at this point in the season. So compliments, you know, I realize the team is 0-3. Compliments, though, to the run game, because you had almost 150 yards rushing from Doug last week, and they were able to run the ball effectively at times against the Patriots on Sunday. And we're anxious to talk with Doug about how they were able to do some of that and how they can build on that and improve on that as this season unfolds. And, again, the Buccaneers will play against Arizona this week and then have the bye week coming up after that. But you're looking to build on that run game and the job it was able to do, and especially early on in the game there yesterday. The Bucs were effective in running the football and were able to move the football in the first couple of drives, with Doug able to pick up a couple of first downs and Josh Freeman able to get some passes going. Unfortunately, you had the missed field goal on the opening drive, and then on the second drive, the 76-yard drive, it eventually stalled out at around the New England 12 for a field goal, but they picked up five first downs on that drive, and Doug Martin responsible for two of those running the ball. So, again, this team has been able, I know that Buccaneer fans are seeing this and are frustrated by it. They've been able to move the football at times. It's how do you turn that into points? You obviously have got to score touchdowns if you're going to win in this league, and that is something that we're anxious to talk with Doug here about how, you know, this is a team that a year ago did tremendously well, especially in the red zone for a lot of that 2012 season. It's a new year, and teams do scheme against you and what you've done in the past, and personnel changes on your team and on other teams, and your schedule changes. So it just depends kind of on all those factors how you execute. But this year, the touchdowns have not been coming for this football team with the regularity that they need to, although there were opportunities, especially inside the red zone on Sunday, trying to be able to get that done against New England, but not the case. Not the case so far to this point, but the only thing you can control is the next game, which will be with the Arizona Cardinals coming up, where the Bucs will try to put a lot of points on the board, obviously. Maybe have a breakout game offensively for sure, with being able to put points on the board and give themselves the cushion. Now, remember, you go back to the first half of the Jets game, you play entirely different defense when you're able to put a couple of touchdowns up there and have a two-score game and pin your ears back. So the Buccaneers have not had that luxury. Had the one-point lead for a lot of the Saints game after the interception by Mason Foster until the very end, trying to put it away. But Bucs have not been in a position, and they could have been yesterday, as the head coach was saying in the last hour. You take that opening drive, and you're able to get a touchdown, and then you come down with the next drive after you've gotten the stop, whether it's 14 points or you get a field goal there. If either of those first two drives have a touchdown and the three, and you're up by 10, you now change some of what the Patriots are trying to do. You're playing with a double-digit lead, albeit early on in the game. Did not turn out that way, and the Buccaneers did not, unfortunately, find the end zone as the first half wore on, even though they had four different chances with drives moving in. That's what's got to be better, and I believe that will be talked about numerous times here over the course of the week as we march towards the game with the Cardinals on Sunday. Got to finish off drives, got to be able to score points, got to be able to score touchdowns in this league in particular as a big difference, and that's something that this team did demonstrate in 2012 that it could do. It's got to be back that way again here in 2013. Again, it is Buccaneers Total Access. We await Doug Martin to be with us. He'll be with us here shortly. Again, jump on the phones in Tampa, 990-4620. If you're in Hillsboro, that's the number. If you're in Pinellas, St. Pete, Clearwater, over on the other side of the bay, 461-4620. Put the 727 in front of it, 727-461-4620. Toll free wherever you can hear the show. You want to say hello to Doug, you want to ask him questions, you got comments to make, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free. We will pause here. We will come back. We'll have more, including number 22 joining us with his thoughts on the game Sunday and looking ahead to the Cardinals as we continue on this Monday night. It is Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
AE and 95.3 FM, home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back in. It is Buccaneers Total Access here on this Monday night. And number 22, Doug Martin, is here with us here this evening as the Bucs get set to take on the Arizona Cardinals coming up on Sunday, and we're going to talk about that here in just a couple of moments. Good to see you. I know you've spent Monday looking at what went on yesterday. Just give me an overall thought or two on the tough day in New England that started out pretty well, but unfortunately, as the game wore on, the Patriots end up pulling away and winning 23-3.
Yeah, you know, the Patriots got to give a lot of respect to the, you know, the Patriots team, and you know, they outplayed us. You know, we had some penalties that we wish we could have had back, and you know, we probably could have had a more, you know, efficient, could have been more efficient in our offense. But you know, we look back, we got to correct some stuff, tweak some things there and here, and get ready for the Cardinals.
By the way, he is a tough guy. He's just got a little raspy voice here this evening, so we'll deal with that here tonight. And, you know, I know you want to hear from some of the fans as well. We reiterate that you can join us at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free number to join us here this evening. I was mentioning before you came in here that at the beginning of this game yesterday, you guys moved the ball well on the first two drives. I mean, I know you don't want to talk about coulda, shoulda, woulda. Fans, you know, kind of roll their eyes here a little bit at it. But you guys moved the ball on the opening drive with three first downs into scoring territory, couldn't get the field goal. You then went on a 6-minute, 76-yard drive, 13 plays, picked up five first downs on the drive, came away with 3 points. What was going well there in those first couple of drives? Because you did move the ball both times to end up with only 3 points.
Yeah, you know, that's when our offense was clicking during the game. You know, Joshua was connecting with his receivers well, and I was getting the lanes that I needed, and you know, offense was doing pretty good around that time. And if you watch the game, it was a lot of tug and war. You know, back and forth in the beginning of the game, where both defenses were holding each other, you know, offense, keeping them out of the end zone. So,
right.
You know, it's we had some efficient times during the game, and sometimes they weren't.
And I was just saying before you came in here, this is another obvious point, but it really showed up on Sunday. You've got to score touchdowns in this league. And if you guys are able to put 7 on the board in one of those first 2 drives to go along with the field goal, you've changed the dynamic of the beginning of the game because you're now up 10-0. Or maybe as the first half goes on, if you've put a second touchdown on the board when you had the opportunities, you've put 14, 17 points on the board. You've changed the whole dynamic of the game.
Yeah. We gotta get in the end zone, especially when we get in the green zone, which we call on offense. The red zone, we call it the green zone, money zone. So, every time we want to get in that area, we want to score points. We want to get 6 on the board. And, unfortunately, no, we got in the green zone and we're able to kick the field goal, but we missed it. So, that changed momentum there. But, that's definitely our goal is to score points in the green zone.
All right, very good. We will go to the phones, and we will talk here with Sam. You are up first on Buccaneers Total Access here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how we doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead.
Hey, Doug, first, man, I want to wish you, congratulate you, man, on having a good rookie season and so far not missing a beat from where you left off last year. So my question, actually, is 2 questions for you. Number one, what is it that you had to do to change your style? From college, you was more in a wide-open kind of play-out space to coming into the NFL, and you playing more ground and pound. So what did you have to do to get to make that transition? And secondly, is there someone away from one buck, maybe a current player, former player, or, former coach of yours, that you work with to evaluate yourself to keep getting better?
All right. Sam, thanks.
Right,
so in terms of having to make a transition to the NFL, in terms of style of offense and the way you play, what would you say to that? Did you have to change maybe even a little how you play, or you just play like you play?
No, I definitely had to make some changes in my running style from college to the pros. In the league, those holes aren't open, forever. They close just like that for a second, and they're gone. I had to, quicken up my initial roll. I learned that I had to hit the holes faster before they closed, and I got to be really decisive in this league because if you're off by a second, then all the defender needs is that second to get off the block and make the tackle. So definitely the speed of the game and the physicality of the game is also something I had to overcome. And get a lot of big guys in this league, and they're going to find ways to, take the hits that you want to take, and, you got to be smart and know which hits not to take. So
he was talking about guys that you maybe emulated growing up, watching – pattern yourself after. You've kind of talked about that before, but repeat that again. When you're in high school, when you're in college, does your running style kind of favor somebody that you used to watch back 10, 12 years ago or so growing up?
Growing up, I played a lot of tag. I played a lot of tag on the playground. So that's where it really originated. I was uncatchable. What I wanted to do is I wanted to take the top 3 or 4 best running backs in the NFL and, see how they ran. So I picked Walter, Barry Sanders, and Emmitt Smith. And Walter Payton, he's a relentless guy. He's one to, takes like 5 guys to take him down. And Barry Sanders is a shifty, agile, elusive guy. And and Emmitt Smith is like the total package. He could do it all. And I just wanted to take all their, all their attributes and kind of mix them together and see what I could do with them. And it's worked out.
All right, back to the phones as the fans want to say hey to Doug Martin here on Buccaneers Total Access on this Monday night. Here is Derek in Tampa. You are up here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello, Derek.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. Go ahead. You're on.
All right. Hey, Mr. Martin, I just wanted to let you know that, there's a lot of bad noise, people pointing fingers at what's wrong, but you guys do a lot of things right. And I know week 1, Levante with the personal foul, and, you know, Freeman with the interceptions. You know, you guys are young. You know, I'm 23. I make mistakes at my job. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, all of us here in Tampa love you, and, you know, we believe in you guys. And, you know, I just want to let you guys know that. So, that's fine.
All right.
Thank you, Derek.
So what does it mean to you? Because there's Buccaneer fans, even with the 0-3 start here, still wanting to see things turn around and get done here in 2013. What does that mean to you?
It makes me feel really good that we still have, we have a lot of fans out there that support us, and I still have faith in us, and, you know, we're going to do our best to, you know, turn this thing around. You know, it's not too late at all. We're gonna practice hard, and, you know, we're gonna get better. So, you know, we're gonna ready for this Cardinals season, and, you know, we're gonna get things going.
We see this all the time. In different parts of the country, your team gets off to a 2-1, 3-0 start. Everybody thinks the head coach is the smartest guy. The quarterback is the best quarterback. The offense is the best offense. The defense is the best defense. So in Tampa and in Washington, D.C., and in New York and in Pittsburgh, where it's 0-3, everybody's talking about what's wrong. You know, why can't you get it done? Is part of that just the nature of the NFL? And as a player, you understand that if it's going well, everybody's going to praise you. And if it's not going well to the tune of 0-3, you just better be ready to have comments, opinions, slings and arrows, et cetera.
Exactly. That's the nature of the NFL. If you're losing, you know, that's when the fingers get pointed, and that's why all the negativity tends. That's when all the negativity tracks, and, you know, you just gotta block all that out. You know, dust the shoulders off, and just keep doing the thing, your thing, and then. That's the nature of the NFL.
All right, back to the phones. Tom is with us in Tampa on Buccaneers Total Access here with Doug Martin. Hello there, Tom.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're good.
Pretty good.
I just got a quick question, and Doug, I'm really pulling for you guys. I know it's tough to start the season 0-3, and you know, everybody's heart's breaking when watching, but I know you guys are trying. And I just have a quick question. I understand I know less than nothing compared to the professional coaches that are given the direction. I just had a quick question as far as when we're running the ball. And again, this is to a very untrained eye, just a football fan watching the game. It seems like we're, you know, running the ball up the middle, running the ball up the middle, running the ball up the middle. And I was just curious that there was one pitch out in particular on the right, and you had a really good run. It was about 8 or 9 yards. And the whole premise is get you out in the open, you know, get you making those linebackers looking silly. Does it seem like we're just running the ball up the middle a little too excessively? Are you not comfortable with pitch outs? Or I'm just curious about that. And again, I can't emphasize enough, untrained eye. And the other question I had was, you're such a dangerous weapon. Why aren't we getting the ball to you more passing wise? I know we had the deep ball to you yesterday, but up until the first two games, you had two catches in two games. And to me, that's just, unbelievable.
All right, Tom, thanks for the phone call. All right, so on the first one, you guys do key in between the tackles.
Mm-hmm.
See that a lot. Just tell the fans that part of that in the game plan is setting things up, part of it. You want to have success, but some of it is setting things up for later in the game plan, correct?
Yes, that is correct. You know, to the untrained eye, it just looks like that, you know, that we're just running through the middle. But, you know, we got a lot of inside runs. We got power. We have, you got your zones, you got your misdirection plays inside, but those plays, what they do is they set up they set up other plays down in the future in the game. So we're playing a game within a game, we're trying to trick the defense and to biting on a run and using play action to get a receiver wide open. So to the untrained eye, you know, it may look like we're running through the middle, but it helps with our offense.
When he's talking about running wide and pitch plays, those are plays that you obviously work on training camp,
mm-hmm.
and get ready for the upcoming season. And then it's a matter of what's going to be in the game plan for this week, right? Whenever those are going to be used, a sweep, a pitch, or trying to run wide outside the tackles. And that may vary from week to week, where one team, you know, just hypothetically may be good at stopping things out on the end, on the edge.
Yeah.
And another team may be weak there, right? And so the pitch
play,
the sweep and whatever.
Exactly.
Becomes depends, a bigger deal, right?
Yeah, it depends on the defense you're playing as well. If they have strong edge rushers and people who do an excellent job of containing, we're not going to run those wide, those pitch plays, those outside plays. And so that's what we do as the offensive coordinator and the coaching staff. They find the weakness in the defense, and they try to expose it, and that's the reason why.
He also asked about passing to you, that he wants to see more of it, that you haven't had as many catches. You were targeted, though, on several occasions there yesterday, and there were times when you were lining up as a wide receiver. You were flanking out wide, showing some of your versatility.
Mm-hmm.
Just talk about what that was like on Sunday, where you're locked up with a guy out there like a wide receiver instead of a running back.
Yeah, that's different. It's I enjoy doing that. I enjoy being a versatile running back, and catching balls out the backfield is something I take pride in, and honestly, I probably do need to work a little better on that, but, they did have a few plays for me last game, and, some are executed well, it's just something that, something I love to do, as well as running the ball, but, being that double threat is pretty cool.
You went down the field on the one in the second, I believe it was the second quarter, against Dante Hightower, the former Alabama linebacker, now that they're with the Patriots, mm-hmm. and it was inches away from you being able to come up with a ball. You've now watched that on the tape, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Describe what was going on that play and how close it was to being first and goal inside the five there on that, as you were locked up one-on-one with him.
Yeah, it was pretty close. But for that route, it's supposed to be a go route. And if he goes with you, it's a 14-yard pivot. And if you
what do you mean by 14-yard pivot for those of us that are not offensive or defensive coordinators? What does that mean?
Run 14 yards and then pivot back to the quarterback.
Okay.
Come down to the quarterback. So he just he stayed on me. He kept running with me, so staying on me while I'm running, and I have to come break it back down and pivot to the quarterback.
So you're really truly having to be wide receiver there with a couple of options.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If he takes one of the options away, it becomes something else.
Exactly.
That's how it works.
Exactly. And that play had two options. So
when watching that one on the tape, are you mad at yourself a little bit? Are you saying, come on, Doug? Because you had a hand on that ball. It was not an easy catch. That was not a routine catch to turn back and grab that ball. But what about watching yourself there trying to come down with that one in particular in the second quarter, the long one?
The long one, that's the one that was to the left side, right?
Correct, down inside the five.
On that one, I did. He got hands on me, and I did my best to get him off, and I ran up the field. I looked up, and the ball was, up there, and I guess we just ran. I ran out of room, and out of room couldn't receive the ball and bound. So yeah.
Fans are always curious about this too. How often do you work on your pass catching now that we're in the season, before practice, after practice, during practice, to help you as a threat as a receiver? How often do you work on those kind of things?
Oh yeah. Like I take, Dan Orlovsky, ask him to, after practice, to throw me some balls, not just perfect balls, but throw me the bad ones, throw me the behind the back and the low balls and the high balls, or just out of whack balls. So, we do a good job of getting those passes in.
All right, back to the phones. Here it is, Buccaneers Total Access, number 22. Doug Martin is with us here tonight as we're talking about the aftermath of the Patriots game. We will move on and talk Arizona Cardinals here as this show goes on. They'll be the opponent at Raymond James Stadium Sunday for home game number two. John is in Largo as we go back to the phones. You are on here on the Buccaneers Radio Network with Doug Martin. Hey, John.
Hey, TJ. Doug, thanks for taking my call. Doug, it's a real honor to have you as our starting running back. And being a Bucs fan, I think it's a great corner piece for our offense. But looking back at some of the running backs you may have watched growing up, I watched a lot of the Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly tandem and the K-gun that they ran up in Buffalo. And I think that might suit you two pretty well, and especially being an every-down back. You get a lot of touches, and you're a great blocker, and it would confuse the defense of what's coming next. But also, other than that, I was wondering, who are some of your best friends that you hang with on the team that you're pretty close to after being there a couple years now? And is Josh Freeman one of them? And I'll hang up the phone and listen to the answer. Thank you.
All right, John. So on the first one, now this is funny, Buccaneer fans, because here we go. He was talking about the K-gun offense, the caller of Jim Kelly and the Buffalo Bills in the 90s. Doug Martin, what's the year that you were born?
1989.
You are just making us all feel old,
Doug. Oh, not at all.
Because you looked at me like K-gun was alien stuff. But now what he's talking about is the Bills were one of the innovative teams in the early 90s. For a couple of seasons in 90 and 91, remember, they went to the Super Bowl 4 years in a row, where they would come out in no huddle, Doug, and they would leave the same personnel on the field for almost the entire drive, running no huddle, get up to the line, run the play. No huddle, get up to the line, run the play. Mm-hmm. Thurman Thomas, the back. Andre Reed, Don Beebe was the other wide receiver. You may or may not know those names if you're listening out there. If you're a Buffalo Bills fan, you would know them. But it was fascinating because Jim Kelly and that K-gun offense is what they called it, ran a lot of no huddle with no substituting. That was their innovation for a couple of seasons there. So when he's talking about that, he's talking about an interesting thing. We see some no huddle here and there, but yeah. I mean, they ran it a bunch.
Yeah.
What about the difference in that? Let's bring it back to this present situation. What about you guys have run some no huddle this year? You ran some no huddle at times yesterday because you like the personnel matchups. Just elaborate on when you go to that no huddle, like what we're talking about.
Oh yeah, it's definitely at the no huddle. We call it fast break. If there are plays to catch the defense off guard, they're quick, quick plays, get on the line, snap the ball, get them off plays, and we practice them many times, and we've done a good job for the most part. And they're plays that catch the defense off guard. And
that's the whole idea on that one. Now, he was talking about teammates and who you hang out with. Again, it's total access. You don't have to reveal all the details there. But when you're away from the field and away from the building, who might you hang out with? Give me a name or two from the team.
I hang out with Josh. I've kind of like worked my way through the team. And when I first got here, I hung out with all the rookies and Mike Smith, one of the running backs, and Chris Owusu.
Are we allowed to hang out with defensive guys, do you hang with the D guys, or is it just mainly offensive guys? Come on,
D guys. Do I hang with them? Sometimes I do. I see them out and about, but I hang with Josh a little bit. Me and his family and myself are close. And I went over to his house to have some dinner and good time. Yeah.
Wait a minute. Did Josh cook? I mean, it's total access. We got to know.
Did Josh cook? I'm sure.
Can Josh cook?
I'm sure he can cook, but he did not cook.
He did not cook that night. What about you? What kind of a cook are you? If the onus was on Doug Martin for dinner tonight, what would we be having?
Oh man, I have
don't say cereal and milk.
Oh no, not at all. I have this nice, chicken and mushroom soup casserole with rice.
Really?
And yeah.
When's the last time you made that?
I think it was
during the season here?
A week and a half ago. Two weeks ago.
So you make chicken mushroom casserole.
It's a chicken mushroom soup casserole. Yes.
What all goes into that? Give me a couple of the ingredients, the details. Give me the Doug Martin chef insight.
You put about 2 cups of rice in there, 4 cups of water, and you take 3 cans of mushroom soup.
He's got it down, folks. Keep going. Yep, keep going.
Season that a little bit, stir it
up. How long does it go in the oven?
Let's go about 2.5 hours.
It has to go in the oven. Boy, you talk about slow cooking.
Yeah.
I'm getting hungry now for dinner. are you saying that we could? Oh, that's 2.5 hours. Though, that we'd have to wait.
It's 2.5 hours.
So Doug Martin with the chicken mushroom. So do you cook a lot, or is that just one of your specialties?
No, I usually eat at the facility.
I got you.
It's a little more convenient that way. But I have some food at the house that I'll throw in the microwave or the oven or something.
I understand. But if we're cooking chicken mushroom soup casserole,
yeah.
Yep. Gonna be looking good there on the plate.
I actually just cooked some ribs like 2 days ago.
Those
are pretty good.
What kind of ribs? Do we have a little? What kind of sauce? Dry rib, dry rub, or do we have a little barbecue sauce? Or
it was, I forgot what barbecue sauce it is. The brown sugar.
Ooh.
I forgot what it was called, but it was pretty good.
I like this though. I had no idea, and this is why it's total access. The Doug Martin has got the apron, and you don't wear a little hat, do you? You can get in the kitchen though, and you've got skills.
Yeah, I don't know about the hat though.
All right,
I got short hair.
I understand. You got to be fashionable, but then again, it's radio. We can let them you know, imagine those kind of things. Yeah. All right, so yeah, good stuff there with Total Access on the cooking. You never know what you're going to find out from Doug Martin. We're going to find out some about the Arizona Cardinals as we go along. We'll take your calls as well. 990-4620 if you're in Tampa. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827. That's a toll free number to join us. We'll be back. More with number 22 straight ahead on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
596 Bucks. This is Buccaneers Total Access with Doug Martin on your home of the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and 95.3 FM.
We are back here on this Monday night, and we continue here with number 22 Doug Martin on Buccaneers Total Access as this show continues on. You can join us on the phones. You can also join us as well via Twitter, and several people are also tweeting in here with different questions and comments. Tweet me at Buck Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck Sideline Guy. Several people tweeting in that are listening through technology outside of the Bay Area. We keep recommending you can go find us on iHeartRadio. You can find us on 620WDAE.com. By the way, Buccaneer fans often ask about this. If they missed the first part of the show, can't hear the whole show, you can go back to Buccaneers.com and hear the show on podcast. Doug Martin, we are tech savvy here. You can hear the show on podcast, commercial free. Go to Buccaneers.com and go into the audio section, and the shows are there as well. But I got Nathan, who's a big Buck fan and a big Doug Martin fan. He says, hello from Atlanta, Georgia, and go Bucks. There on that. Steve from West Virginia is listening tonight. Steve says he wants to know, how does this offense execute better? How will it get better, particularly with scoring touchdowns? We kind of touched on this beginning of the last segment, but for those just tuning in, what must happen better to get in the end zone, the ultimate goal, Doug? What would you say?
I would have to say, you know, we just need to, you know, everybody just do their job, and you know, all 11 guys is do their job on that play, and you know what their, you know, job entails, whether it's, you know, blocking, running the route, like stepping to the right to get a block, driving a guy, and you know, we just need everybody to continue to do their job to the best of their ability. And you know, along with the drive, we just got to get in the end zone. You know, we're getting in the green zone or the red zone, and you know, we're not getting in there. So we need to finish drives, definitely.
Keith also tweets in a question and wants to know about improving the passing game between you and Josh, and how often you work with Josh on improving that in practice.
You know, me and Josh have a good chemistry, and throughout practice, you know, I get receive a lot of balls from him, and you know, in the beginning, you know, that's all I'm getting is, you know, balls from the quarterbacks. They're working on the routes, and I'm out there catching them. And we work hard on our passing offense.
That is part of what they're up to and what they're trying to do to improve. All right, back to the phones. Here is Roderick in St. Petersburg. You're on with Doug Martin on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Roderick.
Hey, man. How you guys doing today?
Pretty good.
We're good.
Hey, Doug, listen, man. I've been a Buck fan since I can remember, and I watched a lot of running backs come through here. Warrick Dunn, you know, those guys, Ernest Graham, Jerry Eckwood, Ricky Bell. But I got to say, you're probably one of the most exciting guys that I've watched run the ball for my Bucks. So I just want to say, you know, it's a pleasure to watch you. And, you know, I really don't have a question in particular because I have so many with what's going on with this team. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to call and just let you know, man, we appreciate you. You know, take care of yourself, and I hope the boys just rally around each other and try to get it done. You know, make it exciting for the fans in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Appreciate that.
No problem, bro. All right, thanks, Roderick. We were talking old school Buffalo Bills from 1990s. He just went way old school Buccaneers.
Took it way back.
Mentioning names like Ricky Bell and Jerry Eckwood and James Wilder. That's late 70s, early 80s Bucks that were running the football.
Oh,
way back when the team was in the orange uniforms, mm-hmm. the throwback uniforms back,
R.I.P.
back in the day. How about that? All right, so we've played three games, and I know you're itching to break one. You were close a couple of times again on Sunday to get into that second and third level, into the secondary, 15 yeah. yards, 20 yards down yeah. the field, and get ready to take one to the house. And I see, you know, you're smiling and nodding. It's been close a couple of times, and you're about overdue to break one,
yeah.
right?
Yes, definitely. Last game, you know, it was, you know, at least a step away from, you know, from a break, from a 40 or 50 yard run, or even a touchdown. You know, with those, you just gotta be patient with them. As a runner, you have to be patient. You have to, you know, those 3 or 4 yard runs up the middle, you know, everybody sees, you know, those eventually end up being, you know, the 20 to the 40, the 50 later in the game where the defense is worn out. And, you know, and you still have a lot left in the tank, and, you know, you just unload on them.
Perfect example of that is you didn't have a lot of long touchdown runs early on last year, but about the middle of the season, you started breaking free. And in that Raider game, to your point, you guys kind of beat on them for a little while. And in the second half, suddenly you were getting to the second, third level. Yeah. And look at what happened.
Exactly.
Exactly what you're talking about, right?
Exactly. You know, just, you know, the defense wears down, you know, throughout the game. And, you know, that's the perfect time to, you know, to run the ball just to, you know, to punish them.
Again, the voice of Doug Martin here with us. When you're watching tape like you were last night, if you did, or today throughout the day, and you're in your meeting room or you're in the offensive room going over it, and you see one hand get a hand on your foot or one body one body gets in your way from what would have been 30, 40 yards or maybe gone,
yeah.
You just shake your head and say, go get them next time? How does it work?
Yeah, that's frustrating to see. You know, if you just go down from a, you know, an ankle tackle or he's a trip or something when you have, you know, a lot of green in front of you, but yeah, there's nothing you could do at that point. You just gotta, you know, put it in the back of your head and make sure, you know, next time get your legs up or run faster through the hole or, you know, stiff arm somebody. But you know, you just gotta just put it in the back of your head and remember it for the next time.
When you are running through the line, how much are you consciously thinking stiff arm, lower shoulder, lower body, as opposed to it is instinct, I see him, and in a split second, I stick my arm up to stiff arm, or I stick my shoulder out to shoulder him. Are you thinking in that moment when you burst through 5 yards through in the hole in the crease and there's one guy there?
Actually, it's all the thinking happens pre-snap.
Okay.
Right, so when they call the play, you know, I have my alignment, you know, my track. I'm supposed to go on my track, you know, press the line of scrimmage, cut. And you know, when I ball snap, you know, everything's just, you know, after that is, you know, it's instinct and reaction. And what we do, because that's why we practice. You know, we have a great coach, Ernest Biner. You know, he does an awesome job of, he keeps, you know, harping on, you know, just you run technique, running technique and lowering your shoulder and your second level work. And he does it every practice. So, you know, he does a good job of doing that. And as we do that in practice, then, you know, it becomes instinct in the game. So it translates over into the game like that.
That's, yeah. But, I mean, a lot of times if you're putting a stiff arm out or a shoulder down, you're not thinking, it's just instinct. You didn't think, oh, there he is, I got to stiff arm him. Instinct just takes over sometimes, right?
Yeah, just like instinct. Okay, I got to stiff arm him. And it's easier
You guys make it look easy. You realize that the average non-athletic, non-elite athlete person watches that kind of stuff and can't fathom. The analogy I always use, and have used it for 25 years, Michael Jordan made dunking a basketball look so easy. Mm-hmm. Dunking a basketball ain't easy for 99%. You running through that line of scrimmage with big bodies hurling at you trying to – that ain't easy.
Yeah.
And you guys make it look easy at this level with what you're able to do. So I'm paying you a compliment on that. You mentioned Coach Biner, and you just jogged my memory. Ernest Biner, Coach Biner, was part of the Redskins Super Bowl team, I do believe, that beat the K-Gun Buffalo Bills in the early 90s. So what you need to do when we're done here, because Coach Biner will be very pleased, you can text him, call him, see him later on in the week and say, hey, on your radio show, somebody was calling about the K-Gun Buffalo Bills, and you guys with the Redskins took care of them in the Super Bowl, took care of the K-Gun. And he will like you for that. He'll remember you finally from the early 90s.
I will put a smile on
NFL,
his face.
NFL football there on that. back to the phones as we continue on Buccaneers Total Access. Here is Will in Tampa. He is next here with Doug Martin on this Monday night. Hello, Will.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, man, I just wanted to first and foremost thank you guys for taking the call. Doug, huge fan. Been a Bucs fan for quite a while. Just had a question. I mean, you've been in the league now a few years, and everybody knows that you're probably the most targeted thing in our offense. I mean, we know they're going to go after you. They know you're our number one weapon. do you feel, my question for you is, that do you feel that sometimes you'd have a little bit more, I mean, since they know they're going to go after you, if you had a fullback more often blocking for you, kind of helping to make those gaps and holes a lot bigger for you. So I just wanted to know if sometimes you get frustrated with that and you kind of would like to have that on your side. So just I'll hang up. Big fan. You guys just keep your heads up. We believe in you. We know you guys are going to come through. And I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
Thank you, Will.
All right, so he's talking about fullbacks. Now, the last couple of weeks you've had Eric Lorig in there, and you've talked about this before, but just repeat it for the audience hearing us now.
Yeah.
The difference with having that blocker in there and what it's meant the last couple of weeks with the offense and what you're trying to do.
Oh, yeah. Eric Lorig, he's an awesome fullback. And what he does is, he pays the way. So he creates the holes, that block in front of me, and he does a good job of getting under guys and driving guys, he's been doing a good job, and it definitely helps the run game, and having that lead blocker in the backfield and inside zones, and he's going to continue to do what he does best.
And Lorig, by the way, can catch the ball out of the backfield.
Yeah.
We've seen that some. He caught one for a first down yesterday in the game. And, again, I joked with you last week because you didn't even realize this. He was a defensive guy at Stanford and even came here as a defensive guy and now has made the adjustment back to where he played some in high school with tight end and a little bit of fullback. But now he's become a full-time fullback, blocking back. To be around. But yeah, and fans need to understand, I guess, part of this too. Give us the insight here on Total Access that a lot of times if the fullback is in the game, then the suspicion is going to be, well, here comes a run play. There's a fullback. So some of it is deception of the other team as to what gets called when there's a fullback in there. Sometimes when you're doing one back stuff, there's also equally deception, sometimes pass, sometimes run.
Yeah.
Part of the cat and mouse game, right?
Exactly.
Fullback in there, fullback not in there. Just elaborate on that.
Yes, the game within the game. We have quite a few runs with the fullback in the backfield, and as well as other plays that shows the same formation as a run play, but we're not running, we're passing the ball, we're doing a play action play. So it's just the game within the game, like I said before, and that's just how you play the game.
And sometimes you are doing things in a game early, first half, to set up for something that's going to look the same, but be different later on in the game, where it's going to suddenly be play action.
Exactly.
Or it's going to suddenly, it looks like it's a pass play, but suddenly it's a draw, like we've seen a couple of different times, and the opportunity presents itself. So.
Yep.
That's kind of the idea. Again, 990-4620 to join us in Hillsborough County. If you're in Pinellas County, 727-461-4620 and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number outside of the immediate area, and I think we're going to utilize the toll-free line. We go to Todd, who's in Indianapolis, Indiana, listening to us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Todd.
Hey, how's it going? It's good to talk to you guys. Doug, it's been an honor having you as a Buccaneer, a longtime fan. I've lived here in Indy for quite a while, and just had some questions on some different perspectives that I've seen during Peyton and Edgerrin and Peyton and Marshall and Marvin's era here. Their pregame prep and their during the week prep, they went through a lot of routines, through the route tree, through a lot of passes, showed up early. And I don't know what they don't show on TV. They, Peyton gets a lot of up. So I'm just curious, are you guys going through some of the same things that, you and Josh and Vincent and Josh and Mike and Josh?
All right. Pre-game routines. He's talking about a couple hours before the game, et cetera.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We definitely, do have a pre-game routine. I go out and they run their routes and they, Josh throws it to them and, they get a nice sweat going and want to get this, I want to get the speed, be familiar with the speed and, just get that, just getting the game ready, mentality. And, and preparation is definitely key, to winning games. I was said to be the game is 80% mental, and which I believe is true. So, preparation is definitely key.
Do you have rituals that you have to do? I don't know that we've talked about this the first couple of weeks. In terms of your routine in the pregame warm up, an hour before the game, 30 minutes before the game, any kind of, you know, maybe even longer than that, an hour and a half before the game. Are you a big superstition guy on doing the same rituals the same way in pregame routine?
No, I'm not a ritual guy at all. I just like to be left alone with my own thoughts. I like to, you know, just to visualize what I'm, you know, what I have to do to be successful on the field, and like to go through my plays through my head, in my head. And I just like to be, you know, I'm in my locker, you know, my head down, my headphones on, and just, you know, just thinking away.
What were you listening to yesterday? Give us a song or two or an artist or two. What's on the playlist to get ready for the Patriots?
How was I listening yesterday? I listened to, Kanye, some Kanye.
All right, a little Kanye?
Just a little bit, you know, some. That's what
you
I
don't have
right
specific
now.
Songs, though, that you have to listen to?
The Weeknd. The Weeknd. I don't know who I was familiar with The Weeknd. He's been out there for a while.
So The Weeknd you have to listen to before a game.
Yeah.
He's on the playlist.
You can only listen to like two of his songs because they're kind of depressing.
Okay. We don't want to be that. We want to be a little more upbeat with that. But, yeah, that's just some of what else besides Kanye and The Weeknd. Anything else on the playlist that you just had to get with your own thoughts and get ready for the game?
Yeah, I listened to some MJ, some Michael, good old Michael Jackson. You can't go wrong with that.
What did you listen to yesterday from Michael Jackson?
You're
going in the Wayback Machine. Come on.
I listened to Remember the Time. And,
Remember the Time. Okay.
Yeah. And Don't Want to Be Starting Something.
Want to Be Starting Something.
Yeah.
That's good for a running back.
Yeah.
Get ready to go play a game.
Yeah.
This is why we call it Total Access. All right, we need to pause. We're almost done. We do need to talk Arizona Cardinals. We'll do that straight ahead as we continue on this Monday night with Doug Martin here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
WDAE and 95.3 FM, home of the Bucs.
Remaining moments with number 22, who is gracious to sit here on Monday night. You're almost done. Had a little bit of a gruff voice tonight. He was worried about it for radio, but you've lasted through. You've persevered on.
Yeah.
Good stuff tonight with Doug Martin. We've learned about cooking. We've learned about what's on your playlist, etc. We got a question on Twitter from a fan that wanted to know about the throwback uniforms. The team originally had wanted to wear the throwback orange and the Bucko Bruce helmet for this week, just like we've seen for the last 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there is a new – well, fortunately, they're concerned with safety. Unfortunately for Bucko Bruce, there's a new policy where you guys have to wear the same helmet for the season, and there's just not a physical way to transfer the pewter helmet with the flag on it into a Buccaneer throwback white helmet with Bucko Bruce on it. So no throwback game for this year, depending on how it can be worked out. Maybe Bucko Bruce and the throwback orange comes back in another year. Now, you ran pretty well in Bucko Bruce throwback orange last year against the Saints.
Yeah, I did. Yes, I did.
Running around in
I think it was against the Saints.
In a number 22 orange jersey. Did you keep your jersey from that game just for a keepsake? Because it's the one game you had? No?
No,
I don't think we
get to keep this. I'm not sure.
Oh, come on. You wanted to keep your jersey? You didn't ask? Okay.
I didn't ask.
There are a lot of longtime Buccaneer fans because the Bucs wore that orange until 1997. That's when the uniform change happened back 16 years ago now. But there are a lot of Buccaneer fans that still love to see the team put that orange on and come back and win it. It had been a while until about 3 or 4 years ago since the Bucs had been in orange, going all the way back to 1996. But there's the update on that. The original intent was to put the throwback orange on this week, but it's not going to happen for 2013, maybe down the road. We'll see. We'll find out. All right, Arizona Cardinals, remaining couple of minutes here. The challenge for them coming in, the Cardinals were beaten by the Saints on a Sunday at the Superdome, and have you begun to look at them some here? Will you on this Monday night, and what do we know about the Cardinals coming into Raymond James Stadium Sunday?
I've looked at them a little bit. I looked at their linebackers and how their D-line play and you know, how their linebackers flow when they try to play the run. And you know, they're a good defense. They're a good defense, and you know,
you got Dockett and Calais Campbell on the defensive line. Carlos Dansby, a free agent acquisition of theirs a couple years ago at linebacker. You're looking at them in the front seven, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, they do a good job of flowing to the ball and, you know, making tackles, and you know, it's going to be a good challenge for our offense. And you know, we just got to, you know, execute, and you know, we got to prepare for this. You know, prepare for them, and you know, finish drives.
This will be the first time, and we anticipate this is the case, this will be the first time for a Sunday 1 o'clock game in the September heat and the humidity. What goes into that for being prepared for Sunday with hydration, et cetera, because we suspect that it mm-hmm. will be hot and humid throughout the game.
Yeah, and, you know, we live here, so, you know, it should be to our advantage. You know, we practice in it every day, and, you know, all the other teams that, you know, come from up north or colder weather, they practice
in the dry heat.
Yeah.
They don't practice in the Florida, the West Central Florida humidity,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. So it definitely should be to our advantage. It should be no problem for us to play in.
Is this a case along the lines of the game plan where, because of your training and your training camp, whatever, this should be advantage second half, fourth quarter with that run game to wear on them, to fatigue them? They'll be in the darker jerseys, et cetera. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. You want to get to that third and fourth quarter pounding away on them and wearing them down, yes?
Yes, that would be lovely.
That's the idea.
Yes.
That's the intent. All right, for the Buccaneer fans that are out there, say something real quick. I know you want them out there loud and early Sunday for the 1 o'clock start to be a force, to be an influence, especially when the Cardinals mm-hmm. have the ball, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, we need you guys' support. I know y'all, you guys out there, you know, support us very well. And, you know, I know you guys still have faith in us, and go Bucks. See you out there.
All right, time to go get a win coming up on this Sunday. Doug, nice job. We'll talk to you again on Monday night, next Monday night. Thanks very much.
Good.
All right, and for you Buccaneer fans, hang in there. We get ready for this matchup with the Cardinals. Again, the first time that we've seen the Arizona Cardinals since a victory in Arizona on Halloween 2010. That was a game, by the way, Doug, where LeGarrette Blount jumped over one of the defenders. We saw LeGarrette playing for the Patriots yesterday.
Yeah.
It's a big photo that's up here in the building. That was Halloween back 3 years ago. So first matchup with the Cardinals coming up on Sunday. We will be on the air at noon. 1 o'clock will be kickoff time for the Bucs and the Cardinals coming up then. My thanks tonight to Eric Sachs there back at our Network Control Center. Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place on this Monday evening as the Bucs get set to take on Arizona. It's an East against West matchup, and we look forward to seeing what's going to happen there on Sunday afternoon at Raymond James Stadium. And we'll obviously be back next Monday night with number 22 Doug Martin here with us, breaking it down on the Buccaneers Radio Network. For now, we're done as we get ready for the Bucs and the Cardinals Sunday on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.